सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति 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 We'll chant verses 46 to 50, chapter 2, page 118.
Yava Nartagudapani, Sarvata Samplutodake, Tavan Sarveshu Vedheshu, तावान् सर्वेषु वेदेषु ब्राह्मणस्य विजानतः ब्राह्मणस्य विजानतः यावानर्थबुदपाने सर्वतः संप्लुतोदके तावान् सर्वेषु वेदेषु ब्राह्मणस्य विजानतः कर्मण्येवाधिकारस्ते माफलेषु कदाचन मा कर्मफलहेतुर्भूः माते संगोस्त्वकर्मणि कर्मण्येवाधिकारस्ते मा कर्मफलहेतुर्भूः माते संगोस्त्वकर्मणि योगस्तत्कुरु कर्माणि संगं त्यक्त्वा धनञ्जय सिद्ध्यसिद्ध्योस्समो भूत्वा समत्वं योगमुच्यते योगस्तत्कुरुकर्माणि संगं त्यक्त्वा धनञ्जय सिद्ध्यसिद्ध्योस्समो भूत्वा समत्वं योगमुच्यते दूरेण ह्यवरं कर्म बुद्धियोगा धनञ्जय बुद्धौ शरणमन्विच्य कृपया कृपणाफलहेतवः दूरेण ह्यवरं कर्म बुद्धियोगा धनञ्जय बुद्धौ शरणमन्विच्य कृपणाफलहेतवः बुद्धियुक्तो जहातीह उभे सुकृत दुष्कृते तस्माद्योगाय युज्यस्व योगकर्मसु कौशलम् बुद्धियुक्तो जहातीह उभे सुकृत दुष्कृते तस्माद्योगाय युज्यस्व योगकर्मसु कौशलम्
In spite of the information that has been provided by the Lord from verse number 11 to 38, the knowledge of the self was provided, still the jnanam has not been established in Arjuna. So though you are Atma and not the body, mind, intellect, knowledge has been provided, nothing much has happened within Arjuna. So therefore Krishna says, now let me provide you with Buddhi Yoga or Karma Yoga, meaning all of us have desires and they don't go away just because we've been informed that you are Atma. Though it is a fact, it is the truth, the desires which have been gathered, the impressions that have been collected for Janmas together, doesn't go simply because somebody came and told you that you are God and not this limited individual. So here the Lord says that you continue doing your actions, remaining a witness, and that is karma yoga, doing it with your buddhi's guidance, with awakening, remaining a witness. And he continued saying that in karma yoga your intellect is resolute, single pointed, and there is no loss of effort. You get both the material and spiritual benefit. You fulfill your desires, you rise above your desires and realize the self. And then he continued saying, people who are ignorant, they get caught in Vedas, not realizing that Vedas can maximum take you up to heaven. In fact, many people sacrifice their present activity for future heaven, for the promise of future heaven. If my life tomorrow can be better off, I'm ready to sacrifice my today for it. So those people are not somebody who is ready to transcend the mind, they're also lurching within the level of the mind. So he doesn't condemn Vedas, but he points out the limitations of Vedas in 41, 42, 43, or rather, sorry, 42, 43, 44, 45. And in 45 he said, Trigunya Vishaya Veda. Vedas are also nothing but Trigunya Vishaya. Vedas are also expressions of the mind, though the truth that was experienced by the master has been expressed. What the master experienced, he is expressing it. Once he expresses, then the play of the mind comes into picture. And when the mind's role is there, mind has three gunas, sattva, rajas and tamas. Therefore he says, these are expressions of the masters. They are not talking untruth, but when infinity or when infinite experience is being put forth through finite equipments, it cannot do justice. That's what he's saying. So Vedas deal with three gunas, be thou free, don't get stuck with them. Don't get stuck with them in the sense, Vedas are experiences of somebody else. A kisi auta experience, aapka nahi. You understand? Somebody experiences and expresses. You heard the Vedas. What you heard should become your experience. So don't get stuck, become free from it. Use the Vedas to reach the self. Go beyond the three gunas. You must become free from the three gunas, the pairs of opposites. Remain ever in sattva. Don't even get entangled in yoga and kshema. All of us are preoccupied for acquisition and enjoyment. All the time our mind is thinking about how to acquire and how to enjoy what we have acquired. So here he says, be free from acquisition and enjoyment. Let us chant verse number 46.
Yava nartavudapane, yava nartavudapane, sarvata sampluthodake, sarvata sampluthodake, tavan sarveshu vedheshu, tavan sarveshu vedheshu, brahmanasya vijanataha, brahmanasya vijanataha, yava nartavudapane, sarvata sampluthodake, tavan sarveshu vedheshu, brahmanasya vijanataha.
To an enlightened brahmana, all the Vedas are of as much use as a pond. As a pond is where there is a flood of water everywhere. The simile of a pond is given here to explain the concept what he has been talking about from 42 onwards. Vedas, when we say there are four Vedas, these are nothing but the body of knowledge. Veda is nothing but a body of knowledge. And there are four Vedas called as Rig, Yajur, Sama and Atharvana Vedas. And each of these Vedas have four parts to it. Mantras, Brahmanas, Aranyakas and Upanishads. The last portion, Upanishads, talk about the philosophy of life and living. The first three portions is more on the ritual side. The ritual side is important, as we have explained before, only for the purification of the mind. I told you, Arjuna was given the knowledge. Though he was given the knowledge did not get established in him because the mind is still not purified. So, as the mind is purified, jnana siddhi happens. Jnanam gets established. So, Vedas talk about the rituals which are fulfillment of desires, how to fulfill your desires in a dharmic way. By doing that, you rise above your desires. So, if at all there is any meaning for Vedas, it is only for rising above the desires. Not merely going on fulfilling desires through which you go on gathering more and more desires and get bound. People are interested in going to heaven, but what they don't understand is, heaven is also a temporary sojourn. Having gone there, you will fall back. And somebody who has experienced ecstasy, when he falls, that fall is terrible. Somebody who has not experienced air conditioner has been going through the, you know, tough life. For him, it's no big deal. But somebody who goes on living only in air conditioners, and suddenly, if he had to live without it, even at a grass level, I'm saying, the pain is too much. Isn't it? Now, somebody who's experienced heaven and then he falls, that fall is terrible. So, Vedas say, no, use Vedas to purify your desires and finally come to Vedant, which means what? The darshan that the Upanishadic masters had, you should also have. Don't just be satisfied with hearing. What is the use of just hearing about the truth? Shouldn't you know the truth yourself? Shouldn't you have darshan of the truth?
So when you say darshan of the truth, Vedanta is the essence of the Vedas, no?
Yes, Vedanta is basically the ant portion of the Vedas, which is the Upanishads. And Upanishads are nothing but the declarations of the masters who had realization. Who realized the self and they expressed the truth. They are talking from their own personal experiences. But when they are talking from their personal experiences, you are only hearing it. Your knowledge is hearsay. You are not going to the same state which the masters realized. You are not attaining that state. So therefore here the emphasis given is, don't be satisfied with just hearing. Get to the experience. Now, when a person has become enlightened, what is the use of these Vedas? Vedas are useful for you to get there. But having gone there, it's of no use. Number one point. Number two, when you get there and you experience the infinite, the finite is part of the infinite. The joy that the Vedas can provide you, by following Vedas you can fulfill the desires here and you can maximum go up to heaven. And in the experience of self-realization, the experiences that you gain through the fulfillment of desires here and the attainment of heaven, all are included. It's much more. So that's what he's saying. Whatever use is there for the pond, how does the pond help you? Pond gives you water to drink, to bathe, to wash your clothes, etc. That's the very same usage, and much more is provided by the ocean. Isn't it? So when the village is flooded, what is the use of a pond? Nobody is going to be searching for a pond. So when you get to the ultimate experience, it is not as though these experiences are excluded. These are all included in it. but it is very, very small and insignificant compared to that experience of the truth. So that's what he's saying, he's comparing the ecstasy of an enlightened person to the ecstasy of a person who fulfills his desires in the worldly level and going to heaven. Let us say, for example, if you can measure the joy content in the fulfillment of a desire here, and the measurement is x value, and the joy content in heaven is x square, let us say, or x to the power of 3 or x to the power of 10. The joy content that you get in self-realization is what? X to the power of infinity. You understand? There is no comparison. Once you have tasted the higher, the lower pleasures cannot stand in comparison to it. So he says, what is the use of Vedas? What is the use of Vedas for an enlightened person? Whatever use the Vedas are meant for, if at all, is only to get to that truth, not to go to heaven. But if you see people who are practicing rituals, their whole thing is, I must fulfill the desires, and I am told these rituals help me in fulfilling my desires. Or by doing punya, by dan, by annadhanam, by gifting something, by doing charitable work, by doing tapasya, I am told I will get heaven. Anyway, I don't see any way of correcting my life here, bettering my life here. At least let me use this time that I have to book my seat in heaven. So maximum they work for heaven. So he is talking about that. He is not condemning Vedas. He is condemning people who get stuck with Vedas. That's what we've been emphasizing when we, you know, talked about verse 42, 43, 44, 45. He's continuing with the same thought. The Karmakanda portion of the Vedas are meant for what? Purification of the mind. Exactly.
You don't get stuck.
Absolutely. In fact, we are collecting more impressions. The idea is to dissolve the impressions, get rid of the impressions. But we are collecting more and more impressions.
In fact, Karmakanda is sometimes it does make, out of ignorance, it does make society stuck, makes people stuck.
Yes. Nobody will get stuck consciously. Out of ignorance, obviously, people get stuck. And that's where the Shastra has come in again and again, remind us, the goal is to get to the self, not this or that. Don't compromise. See, what is the use of a pond? And pond, how does water come in the pond? By digging. Isn't it? The well in the house has not brought water from outside. By digging the earth, the water comes from the ground. And the ground water is coming from where? Ground water is actually ocean. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Ground water is nothing but the water of the ocean. So your ancestors who built the house could have dug the well and they brought the water. They went deeper and touched the water which is of the ocean. So what we need to understand is, in well there is ocean. But ocean is much beyond the well. So what we need to understand is, our masters might have gone deeper and tasted the self. We must also go deeper and taste the self. Here another interesting point is, when Vedas say you are Atma, you have Shraddha in what they say. You take it, yes, if I do these rituals, I will certainly get these things. If I can remain a witness, I will dissolve the impressions and realize the self. But I must get on to the work of remaining a witness to my rituals and get to the self deep inside me and not get stuck at the surface level. So I must use it as an inspiration. But the idea is to get to the ocean, not to get stuck by the well. Vedas are the well. If you see in this comparison, he's comparing Vedas to the pond, isn't it? And the enlightened Brahmana's experience to the ocean. So he says, what is the use of a pond when the whole village is flooded? Whole village is flooded means water everywhere, like an ocean. So a Brahmana is flooded with water. I keep saying in a light-hearted way in most of my classes that Krishna never had weekly classes. Krishna never carried a textbook with him to the battlefield. Oh, Arjuna might ask some questions, so let me keep the book with me. So anybody asks any questions, I can refer and answer. Isn't it? He had the experience. He is the truth. So when Arjuna asked, it is coming from inside. It is not coming from the dependence on any book. It is not coming from the dependence on any tradition. It is not hearsay. It is his personal experience. In fact, another meaning for Vedanta is personal experience. Swami Ramtita talks about it, and Swamiji has quoted Swami Ramtita extensively in the book Vedanta Treatise. Swami Ramtita says, doesn't matter who said it, you must see it in your own life. That is Vedanta. Veda Ant means what? Beyond Vedas. Beyond Vedas means beyond hearsay. Beyond hearsay is what? Experience. Darshan.
I think the Atma cannot be explained. Like when we started also, it was the Atma cannot be explained. It's more. It's
what is
experience.
What is indescribable? How can it be described? What is infinite? How can it be described? Because description is always through the body-mind-intellect. You are dependent on the body-mind-intellect, which are in itself finite. How can the finite define or express the infinite? That is why he said, Traigunya Vishaya Veda. Vedas are no doubt experiences of the masters. So you can take it like this. Don't get stuck with mantras, brahmanas and aranyakas, go to Upanishads. But I think it is even more than that. That is, don't get stuck with brahmanas, mantras, aranyakas and Upanishads also. Because Upanishads are also what? Declarations of the truth of the masters which has come through their mind. No doubt their personal experience which is beyond mind. What is beyond mind, the moment it has been expressed, it has come through the mind. Once it has come through the mind, you have faith in it. You value the tradition, you have Shraddha in it, but you understand, I must take inspiration from this and understand this water that I see in this well. If I am experiencing some subtle joy while I am reading Vedas, it is all coming from the ocean of the Atma. Therefore, I mustn't stop with my experience of the well at home. I should go to the ocean. That's the idea. That's what he's saying here. These are very deep verses. So what he's saying is, your ancestors have dug the well at home. Similarly, your tradition has given you the Vedas. Well is compared with the Vedas, or rather Vedas are compared with the well. Now, look at them, and what you are supposed to understand? Where is the water come from? How did they get it out? Did they have a tank supply from ocean to the well? They just dug the earth and the ocean water came and filled it. Similarly, I must dig myself deeply and then fill myself with the ocean water. And the water that comes from within me is also the same water of the ocean. Educate literally means to eke out, to draw out, not to stuff from outside. But today you see all the education system is just stuffing from outside. So Yavan Artha Udapana, this is also very, very interesting and famous off-quoted verse. The use of a pond is very limited and it's not necessary when the village is flooded. Similarly, when you have understood through the Vedas, this is only the, if at all there is any significance to the Vedas, this is the significance. That Vedas should give you the inspiration to dig yourself deeply. But what are we doing? We are spending our whole life in just mastering the Vedas. Somebody becomes a Trivedi. Somebody becomes a Chaturvedi. Simply memorizing the Vedas and repeating, parroting. What is the use of parroting or repeating? You must experience it yourself. So Krishna is asking Arjuna to plunge and not just collect information. You are meandering on the surface of the water. Plunge, then you see different world altogether. You know, a person is meandering on the surface of the ocean. If he just takes a plunge inside the water, he will see so many different things, isn't it? It's available here and wherever he is. So similarly, we are only interested in covering books. Swamiji, after Bhagavad Gita, what shall we do? The thought is there. Let us do Ashtavakra Gita. Or something else. Yoga Vasishtha. These are all different wells. Different ponds. There is no use getting stuck with these ponds. What is the use? I must have darshan of all the ponds. This is the irony, you know. The very purpose for which the Vedas were given. Same thing when Ashtavatra Gita was... how did Ashtavatra Gita come about? When Janaka approached Ashtavakra, Ashtavakra gave the Gita. It is his own personal experience. Anybody who taps it with Shraddha can get it. So in other words, even one book is enough. Even one line is enough. You don't need pages and pages and pages. But if you see people go on burying themselves in books. So he's saying there is no comparison. One who is buried in books and one who has experienced the truth. Absolutely no comparison. So, use the books, but go beyond the books. Use the Vedas, go beyond the Vedas. Use the institutions and go beyond the institutions. Guru should not become a stumbling block. Guru should be a stepping stone. A true guru would only be interested in seeing his disciple experiencing the truth, not getting stuck with him. And the more you experience the truth, the more you will be grateful to the guru. Your devotion will not reduce, in fact it will increase. Like Kabir says, Guru Govinda Dono Kade Kake Lagepa. Both Guru and Govinda, I am saying, whom do I fall at first? I will fall at the feet of the Guru, because he is the one who took me to Govinda. You understand? In our Indian culture, we say Mata, Pita, Guru, Devam. Mata, you come into this world through the mother's womb. And mother has to tell you who is the father. And the father is introduced to the son or daughter by the child, by the mother. And the job of the father is to provide the education to the child by taking him and introducing him to the guru. The job of the guru is to make sure that the child digs within and realizes the Atma Devam within. So guru should finally help the Shishya, the child, to see the truth within. This is the culture. Mother should not become a stumbling block. Father should not become a stumbling block. Guru should not become the stumbling block. Veda should not become the stumbling block. You must go beyond. So Veda, Ant means it's beyond Vedas. Truth is beyond Vedas. That's what Krishna is trying to say here. Truth is beyond Vedas doesn't mean you ignore Vedas. Just like how a pole vaulter uses a pole to cross the bar. He pegs the pole to the ground. He comes running with the pole, pegs the pole to the ground, lifts himself to a particular height, and then drops the pole and crosses the bar. Similarly, you must use the Vedas, exhaust your impressions, rise yourself to that level, and then reach the self. And that's the message that Krishna is trying to give, if you see here, from 42 to 46.
Exhaust your impressions, it's sanskar.
Yeah, basic impressions that you have gathered, and that will not go unless you express them being a witness objectively.
So sanskars are impressions which
vasanas that each one of us have doesn't go simply because I've got the knowledge. Doesn't go. I've got this vasana. So what do I have to do? I have to express them, which is the grihastha ashrama. We've discussed this before. In grihastha ashrama, see, in the brahmacharya ashrama, you gain the knowledge. But what has happened? Not to everybody the desires go. Even few people who are able to go from Brahmacharya Ashrama directly to Sannyasa Ashrama, it only means that they had gone through the Grihastha Ashrama in the previous Janma. Right? They have done their part of being a witness. And once in Grihastha Ashrama, you dharmically express your desires, being a witness. Slowly you move into Vanaprastha and Sannyas.
So, Vasana is one overlaying. Talk about Sanskara and Vasana.
Both the same. What is the what according to you there?
Sanskaras are impressions which.
That is vasanas.
I mean, good impressions. Good sanskaras, you say. So that's good impressions created.
You have created samskara. Right. You could have created good impressions, you could have created bad impressions. Both put together is what we call as vasanas. You have a fragrance. Your nature is full of your impressions, your desires. So you need to exhaust those desires, rise above them. The goal, see, the idea is not to get stuck with it. You need to go beyond it. So you need to exhaust them in grihastha ashrama dharmically, and thus you rise above. Then your mind is fully available for the focus of the on the Atma. Today you cannot probably do more than an hour study or puja, whatever, because you require other, you know, channels. For example, if somebody says, "You please come and join an ashram," can you go and join an ashram? You can probably go and visit an ashram for a few days. Somebody even can't do that. They can probably just go, have a look at an ashram, attend one lecture and come back. Can't even stay there. You know, it depends how much of your desires have been overcome. How light have you become? So, to an enlightened Brahmana, all the Vedas are of as much use as a pond is where there is flood of water everywhere. Pond is only useful to bring the ocean's water to the surface. Where you are. So their personal experiences has been brought to you where you are. Now looking at that, now what you are supposed to do is, you are supposed to get to that ocean. So use the Vedas, use the pond to go to the ocean. Understand, the water in the pond is nothing but ocean. And I must experience the ocean. And when I experience the ocean, pond is of no use. We'll go to verse 47. Karman yevadikaraste, ma phaleshu kadachana, ma karma phala heturboho, ma te sangostva karmani, karman yevadikaraste, ma phaleshu kadachana, ma karma phala heturboho, ma te sangostva karmani. This is a very, very off-quoted verse, as you know. Karmani eva adhikaraha. The word eva, when it comes as a suffix, it gives a weightage to the word before it. Karmani eva means what? Eva means alone, only. Karmani eva adhikaraha. Your adhikaram, your right, your choice is only with action. So when you say only, there is an emphasis. So evam means emphasis. Karmani eva adhikaraha ma phaleshu kadachan. Not to the fruit at any time. Kadachana means at any time. Mahafaleshu, not to the fruit. You know, many times you would have heard this from many people in India. Karmani eva adhikaraha, mahafaleshu kadachana. What it means is, your right is in action only, never to the fruits. Ma karma phala hetur boho, ma te sangostva karmani. Let not the fruit of action be your motive, nor let your attachment be to inaction. Now why does he say karmani eva adhikaraha ma phaleshu kadachana? Anybody?
Your right is in the action and not in the fruit, because if you focus on the fruit, then on the results, then your action gets ruined. You're not in the present at that moment.
That is true.
If you're only thinking about the result.
No, you're right. When your focus is on the result, the action suffers and thus the result doesn't come. But why does he say your right is only with action?
Because the fruits have to be decided by the Almighty, what you deserve. As long as we do our action, our best.
See, his whole verse comes because it is not just you that lives in this world. You live with plants, animals, other human beings. Isn't it? Birds. You are one among the many. Your action is part of a chain. Your action is part of a chain. You can throw a stone in the pond, and the stone goes deep into the pond and get settled at the base. But the ripple may continue. In other words, somebody who started the communal violence, for example, he might have died, but the communal violence continues. How the result will be is not in your hands. That's what he's trying to say. You have right only to throw the stone. How the result will be, how many ripples, how long it will continue, how the whole thing will unfold is not in your hands. Mahatma Gandhiji, when he worked for the Indian freedom, he would have thought freedom is the answer. But if he probably saw the condition of our country today, he would have said, why did we get the freedom? You do not know how the result will be. So you have right only to throw the stone. The best example I can think of is playing frisbee. When you go to the ocean side on the beach and play frisbee alone, you throw the frisbee, it comes back. But depends on the air, isn't it? You can master the technique and throw it. How it will come back depends on the total. So action is thy right, fruit is in the hands of the total. Isn't it? I can do something today with an intention which is pure. With pure intention, I might save somebody. But that person whom I saved, let us say, happened to be Hitler. And in future, he killed so many people. Would you say that action was good or bad?
No.
You don't know. As far as you are concerned, you have good intention. You don't know how the result is going to be.
But if your intention was pure, you don't know the result. The result is
that's the point here. That's all he's saying. He's only saying that much. The result comes from the total. The action, as far as the individual is concerned, the individual has a choice at every given point of time to act. You have a choice to have pure intentions backing your action or negative intention backing your action. And you have a choice to act or not to act. Firstly, you have a choice to act or not to act. Secondly, you have a choice to act with pure intention or with impure intention. But once having acted, it mixes with the total.
But you will still always get back what you deserve.
Exactly.
Whether now, later, whatever.
We are coming to that. That's in the second part of the shloka. The first part is just in the first part. Karmani eva adhikaraha. Mahavaleshu kadacham. What is he saying? Never to the fruit. Fruit belongs to the future. And time, when you are in contact with time, you are always in contact with it in the present. So in the present moment, you have only action. When the action has been put into, then only the result will come. And how the result will be, whether it will happen tomorrow, whether it will happen 10 months later, is not in your hands.
But results are not in your hands anyway. So why worry about the results? And that
yeah, that is all second line. We still not gone to the second line. Why worry about it and all that? I am only explaining what he means by karmani eva adhikara. Result is the consequence of the action that comes at a later point in time. At any given point in time, you have only choice to act. So if your focus is now in the now, if your focus is in the now, you will be fully available when you choose. And thus you may have a say or control over the result, if at all. But even then, the result has to come from the total. So many people fought on the side of Kauravas. So many people fought on the side of Pandavas. Pandavas were on the righteous side. Still, so many people on the Pandava side also died, no? For example, Abhimanyu died. So even though you are on the righteous side, the result may not be that everybody is surviving after the war. Are you with me? So we can go on. Action alone is your choice, not the fruit. So karmani eva adhikaraha ma phaleshu kadachan. Then he says, ma karma phala hetur boho. Let not the fruit of action be your motive. Why? Like you said, if the fruit of action is your motive, then while you are in the present, your mind has gone to the future. To that extent, the present action will suffer. If the present action suffers, then obviously the result will suffer. Even if you fully do the action, even then the result is not in your hands. For example, a doctor is totally in the present and execute the operation successfully. But the patient may die, may not die. Like they say, operation is successful, patient dead. Result is not in the hands of the doctor. Are you with me?
So any action done with a good intention, the result could be good or bad?
We don't know in the long run. Like I gave you the example, now I'll give you one more example. The driver came 10 minutes late, and because of which you had to miss a flight. You curse him for your life. And then, next day you hear that the flight crashed. You thank him so much. You don't know. The stone is thrown, it's part of the chain. Action is part of the chain. You've given birth to a son or a daughter, it's part of the chain. That fellow will grow up as a bakasura or will grow up as a good person, we do not know. You can give him all possible good things. How it will pan out, you have no idea. You understand? And therefore, he's saying, action is what you have at the moment in hand. Result is not in your hands. And secondly, if you are thinking of the result while acting in the present, then to that extent the action will suffer. when even when you do action fully, even then the result is not in your hands. If your action is not done fully, then for sure the result is not in your hands. You understand the difference? By tying yourself to the future while working in the present, the present action becomes impoverished. So he says, let not the fruit of action be your motive. If the focus is on the fruits, then the roots suffer. When the roots suffer, the fruits will not come. When you take care of the roots, the fruits will automatically come. Fruits follow the roots. Action doesn't bring the result. Result is the shadow of the action. Result is the shadow of the action. If I act thinking of the future, then result will be impoverished. If I can act renouncing the future, then the result will be most likely in my favor. Why? Because anyway it won't matter, but even otherwise your actions will fructify. So next he says, let not your attachment be to inaction. Let not your attachment be to inaction means what? May you not stop acting. By not acting, you are sowing the seed. By acting, you are sowing another kind of seed. By not acting, you are sowing another kind of seed. Not acting is also an action, right? Choosing not to speak is also an action. And that will have its own consequence. By not speaking, don't expect that there should be no consequence. That's what he's saying. Not speaking also might have some consequence. Speaking will have its own consequence. Not speaking will have its own consequence. So it is better to speak and face the consequence rather than not speak. Because when you speak, you are exercising the choice. But while exercising the choice, be humble, not arrogant, thinking that my choice will bring the result. Your choice will not bring the result. It is not the action, but the attitude. When it rains, the water falls on the mountain as well. But the water doesn't get collected in the mountain, it gets collected only in the valley. So don't be a mountain, be a valley. A truly educated person will be like a valley, not be arrogant as a mountain. So I understand, I'm not alone. So I'm throwing a stone, there are so many people throwing the stone. So how the result is going to be, I don't know. I take the best possible care and then quote for a tender. And whether I will win the tender, I will not win the tender is not in my hands. Isn't it? so many other things over which I have no control. I write the exam having prepared very well, but the fellow who came to correct the paper had a fight with his wife that day. He was in a very bad mood. So you lost, let's say, 0.5 marks. He was very disturbed while correcting your paper. The 0.5 marks makes a difference, no? Instead of going to the best university, you've gone to the second one. Now, going to the second one, not necessarily it's a bad thing. If I give you one more data, the fellow who was teaching in the best university resigned and for whatever reason came to the second university. Is that in your hands? Let us say he had to shift from one city to another city. So, for convenience sake, he shifted from that university to this. Now, would you say it's good or bad? This is the point he's trying to tell here. Whatever is happening, you should understand it is for your good. But we have a condition. Isai hona chahiye. Whatever happens, I should be ready to accept. Instead of that, I want it to be like this. So it's me fighting versus the many. So most of the time I'm going to be losing. When I have that attitude, then most of the time I'll end up losing. I'll be a loser. But if I have the attitude, I become one with the many, then most of the time I end up a winner. So, karmani eva adhikaraha. And I must exercise my adhikara. Whether I exercise my adhikara or not, I still have to face a consequence. If that is the case, I might as well exercise my adhikara. But while exercising my adhikara, what is my attitude? The attitude in life that I would scale will depend upon my attitude. So as the attitude, so the altitude in life. So understand this verse like this. On one side there is inaction. On the other side there is action with ego. There is another which is action minus ego. And he is talking about action minus ego. When there is action minus ego, it is becoming one with the many and acting. It's collective force that is acting. It is action with, supposing it's a second level, action with ego, then it is one versus the many. It's not the collective force that is acting. Are you with me? Today, you would find a second level of people everywhere. The third level is not understood only. A person like Krishna is at the third level. In the world, you find many, many people who are at the second level, action plus ego.
That's what we are at.
You will find people not acting or acting with ego. Exactly. So he says, this verse is a complete verse therefore. Never should you get attached to inaction. Also make sure while acting, your mind is not slipped into the future. Why? Because you are always in contact with the present, and the mind goes to the future. You become a split personality. If you can bring your mind to the present, then you become a total personality, not a split personality. And that action that has done, that has been done by a total personality, brings about the total result. An action that has, that is done without any expectation, without future in mind. When you meet the future, you will meet it as a present only. Isn't it? Nobody comes face to face with future. You will only come face to face with today. You know, Muslims, when you tell them, when you have some discussion with them and say, okay, let us continue this discussion tomorrow, you know what they'll say? Inshallah. You know, when you tell them, let's continue the conversation tomorrow, they'll say, inshallah. Really, inshallah, because you do not know. It's a beautiful term.
They say, inshallah, for inshallah, inshallah.
Nowadays, I'm told, I don't know. Nowadays, I'm told people use it wrongly in the sense they don't have intention of meeting you tomorrow, so they say, inshallah. But that's not the real spirit of the word. And it's a beautiful spirit, you know. When they say inshallah, inshallah means really you do not know. When you book a person to act in your movie, let us say if you are a producer, you do not know whether he will be alive tomorrow. He may die after you have spent few crores. It's not in your hands. You should be ready for it. That's how it is. You may not be there to see the end of it. You might start something and you might not be there. N.T. Rama Rao started the party called Telugu Desam. You understand? He was a chief minister also. Later on, they threw him out of his own party. They threw him out. The party that he started, that he founded, he was thrown out. So the point is, action, how it will result is not in your hands. Leave it to the total.
Is the results always pre-decided?
It's not pre-decided. It's dependent on each and every one of our actions, no? There are two things. One is my own actions, not just action. Like for example, school starts in April and ends in March. I don't study till February. I am choosing to be inactive. Suddenly in March or end of February I am studying. Right? So how much mark I will score depends on my efforts. Secondly, which rank I will be in the school depends on everybody else's actions also. I'm the person who comes to correct. Are you with me? If in a school everybody is like you, then probably you might even come first. If in your school only you are like that, then you will be the last.
But then if everything is a result of our action, where does destiny come in? Because people,
destiny is nothing but the result of your own action.
Of the previous birth then.
All births put together.
Okay.
Till date. This example is a good one. That school boy, you know, who doesn't study from April. Only February end he starts studying. How much mark he will score and what grade he will be in the school will depend upon the other children also, no? What rank? And the teacher who corrects the paper. All that put together. Yes. So therefore, but even though all these are there, what is in your hands is only studying from April to March. That's all in your hand. You don't waste your time in disturbing the other children and all that. That's not in your hands. You just focus and study.
But then again, you're planning for the future. You focus and study because that will help you in the future. Somewhere, what is the confusion between planning for the future and...
When you plan for the future, that planning is done in the present. When your mind goes to the future by itself, that is not being in the present. You are very much in the present and you are chalking a plan.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
That is not what he is talking about here. But while you are building the house, your mind is gone to the future. He is not saying build a house without a plan. Have a plan. But while building, let not your mind go to the future. Plan is what you do in the present. When he says, if your mind goes to the future, then you are dissipating energy. Pardon?
One has to plan, whether it's business decisions,
anything,
planning, work, any sphere of life. One has to plan.
Yes.
But planning and then acting, without getting stuck in the results.
Planning is action at that moment.
Yeah, planning is action.
The action that is to be done in the boardroom is planning. Yearly plan, monthly plan, jo bhi hai. Theek hai? That is the action in that boardroom. But lekin boardroom mein plan karne ke baad, jab aap action karenge, us samay your mind should not go to the future.
Once you plan, you decided, and then you... You're
yes.
doing the plan, then you're doing the action.
Exactly.
Then you're not.
Yes. clear determination as to we are establishing a plant to produce steel. And what kind of steel? First grade, first quality steel. If it is first quality steel, then first quality raw materials we produce. And we don't compromise on the equipments. We don't compromise on the human resource. We don't compromise on the principles. Jo bhi hai. Then you plan. First year ke liye, what are our resources? Kitna produce kar sakte hai? Because it depends on our resources, na? If our plant, we can only establish one plant, and the plant can only produce this much ton of steel, and that much ton of steel needs to be sold also. Otherwise, what's the use in producing some more? Are you with me? So you plan. Planning is what? Is about how am I going to go about my action.
And when you have goals, whether it's a student having a goal or it's a business goal or a goal for a nation, again it's a goal. You are planning the goals, which is also a result in a way. But that's more as a focus point for the action. Is that so? People have to have some goals.
Okay.
Everyone has to have goals. So how is that goal then? That doesn't... that's obviously very different from this result.
That's what I'm saying. The goal is the direction.
Direction, yeah.
Okay. But as I'm walking, if my focus is all the time on the goal, then I'm missing my steps.
Like if your goal is that you want to make your plant... Like this. That is your goal. But then you say your goal is to be the best. That might be. I mean, that's again the result.
Yeah.
Because it's in your hand. A plan for making your plant the best.
Yes.
Making it very good. But making it the best is not in your hand. If you are doing the best, then trying to make your plant the best you can make it. That much you can plan, but you can't, the result of whether it will be the best or not is not in your hand.
Exactly.
Or
exactly. You plan to give out your best.
Mm-hmm.
You want to be a singer.
Mm-hmm.
So your goal is to be a singer. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
When your goal is to be a singer, then, okay, to be a singer,
you need to do this business.
These are the things I must do. So I plan. Once I have planned, then my focus should be in the present action.
And if you're trying to be the best, then in fact you lose direction.
Absolutely.
You are the stress of
and there,
to be
the there ego comes in.
To be the best.
There the ego comes in.
Then
the ego comes in.
Yeah.
If I simply continue with my plan, I become the best automatically maybe.
Yeah, you might.
Or maybe one of the best.
Mm-hmm.
What difference does it make? We may have argument between us whether rose is a better flower or violet is a better flower. But rose has no complex, violet has no complex. It's only human being, you know, getting to that ego war. Rose raises to the potential of being a rose. Similarly, you raise to the potential of being what you are. Don't get into this ego war as to whether I am number one or number two and all that. So here is just, you know, there is a beautiful poem called Grammarian's Fever by Robert Browning. I'm not quoting the entire poem, but few lines from the poem. It says, that low man seeks little things to do, sees it and does it. This high man with great things to pursue, dies ere he knows it.
Dies and he knows it.
Dies ere he knows it. Ere means before he knows it.
Oh, ere he knows it, yeah.
That low man goes on adding one to one, his hundreds soon hit. This high man aims at a million and misses a unit. It's a beautiful poem. It says that low man means humble man. That low man seeks little things to do, sees it and does it. अभी क्या करना What should I do now? Then this high man with great things to pursue dies ere he knows it. This high man means haughty fellow. I can do this, I can do that. He plans for the future all the time in the future, pursue so many things. His mind goes here and there, not focused. He dies before he achieves half of it. That low man goes on adding one to one. He simply adds one to one. He says that low man goes on adding one to one. His hundreds soon hit. Hundreds means many goals he achieves. He doesn't get stuck with one goal also. Because his idea is not to get there. His idea is to simply walk. Mind, for practical purpose sake, if you say you have to walk for 100 kilometers, if you tell him 100 kilometers, so you break it into 1 kilometer. Then the mind can see that 1 kilometer, so it cooperates. So you set the goal for that reason. So having gone there, you are only interested in walking. Oh, I have reached here. That is not the idea. My idea should be to walk and continue to walk. So his hundreds soon hit. Means what? His inspiration comes from walking, not from reaching any place. Awards may come, but he is not doing it for awards. His hundreds soon hit. This high man aims at a million. Means his focus is upon some award or this or that and misses a unit. It's a beautiful poem. I think that poem to some extent talks about this verse. So that's all he's saying. Inaction or action will have its consequence. So therefore, you act. Take it upon yourself. But when you do it with the right attitude, without ego. Understand that the result is determined by the total. So, become one with the total, so that you are not one versus many. And that way, the result would become a shadow of your action, and mostly as it should be. You get what you deserve. If you were split while acting, then obviously you will get what you deserve. The shadow will depend upon your action coupled with attitude. Action is coming from the body. Attitude is coming from the mind. The result is a shadow of both. And a person who has the right attitude is able to accept whatever comes. Like I told you, because you do not know. You see, a fellow's paper, though he wrote very well, was corrected by a fellow who was in an agitated mood that day. So he lost the seat in the best university by 0.5 marks. But by going to the second university, he saw the guy who is supposed to be the best, who was teaching in the best university, because of which that university was called best, has resigned from there and come to this. You do not know whether such things, many things like that happen in life. So a fellow who has this in mind, he understands that Jobi happens, whatever happens, is happening for my good. You remember that story of a king who had a minister who always used to say, whatever is happening for our good. So, once when the king was cutting an apple, he cut his finger. The minister said, this is also for your good. The king got fed up and he said, get lost, I'm going to put you in jail for 3 days. He put him in jail for 3 days. And he went to hunt. While he was hunting in the forest, he was caught by the cannibals. The cannibals were going to sacrifice him to their god and eat him. But before killing, before sacrificing, they had this ritual to check up whether he is hurt anywhere in the body. They want to sacrifice perfect body. The king was hurt, so they released him. So he came straight to the minister and said, I really understand now, everything that happens is for our good. But one thing, tell me, how is it good for you to be in the jail now? For which the minister said, King, you always had the habit of taking me with you when you go for hunting. So by putting me in jail, you went alone this time. Otherwise I would have been sacrificed, because I am not hurt. So we don't understand. So this whole verse is talking about, our vision is limited, rather, put it that way. We can't understand the whole thing. So surrender to the whole. Don't lay your conditions. Just act. Like the Nike slogan says, just do it. Just do it. Two advertisements I really love. One is this Nike, just do it. And the other one is of that whiskey brand called Johnny Walker. It says, Johnny Walker, keep walking. Just keep walking, Goals are not important. If at all goals are mentioned, it is mentioned for this sake, as I said, You break it so that it's easier for the mind to cooperate. But the idea is not to get somewhere. If it's to get somewhere, then you're bound to be stressed. The inspiration, the joy, everything should come from the walking, not from reaching.
The goal taken as a motivation, that motivates.
That is what he is saying. Don't keep the goal as your motive. Let not the future be your motive. If goal is the motive, then having reached there, you do not know what to do. Till then, you will be very active. Uske baad, you do not know what to do. What after I become number one? Till I have not become number one, I am like working like anything. But having become number one, now what? I don't know what to do, so I commit suicide. Let not the goal be your motive. Whenever they say set a goal, what they mean is this direction. And if you split it into small goals, then it helps for the mind. Oh my God, I will go. Just keep walking. You will reach many, many goals. Because they are not important. What is important is me walking. We'll continue next week. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.